B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Ram-a-lam-a, ding-dong, rock and roll is king.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. Rich is out today. I have no idea what he's doing. I guess he is completely quarantined to himself, but I would suppose it's an effort to sleep.
Building a bunker in his backyard.
I would imagine that is very well could be the case. But we have Johnny Wallgame and Joe Murray in today. And right. I hope everyone had a wonderful weekend of sitting around. Now, Joe Murray, you have become quite the ambassador for Kowloon on online.
I went yesterday. I wanted to support my my favorite restaurant during this time.
I mean, you have, I am on Twitter. I follow, you know, a few people, and you're one of the people I follow, and it's quite the endorsement of Kowloon. You're letting people know that they deliver.
Yeah, they deliver, that you can do takeout as well. I drive by it every day on my way home and to the station, and my great friend Andy Wong, they, you know, trying to promote my favorite restaurant.
Right, and so is there some despair that there is no WrestleMania between the Wong father and you?
Yeah, we're all upset about it. Last night we got 3 hours of it on ESPN. So last night I got a little bit of takeout. I was here in the morning yesterday with Marshall Hook, and on my way home decided to get some Kowloon and watched a little bit of old WrestleManias yesterday.
WrestleMania 30. They re-ran it at 7 o'clock. Where was that?
I don't know.
I
wasn't there that year.
I know, but a WrestleHead is such a...
No, I've gone the last 4 years. I just wasn't at that one.
Oh, okay. WrestleMania 30. What was the main event?
Ooh. It might have been Triple H versus Daniel Bryan.
Oh, you throw out the records when those two guys get together.
Yeah.
Don't I get some credit for being at WrestleMania 3?
Well, yeah.
You do, yes.
Of course you do.
Isn't that kind of like I'm grandfathered into everything?
You are. You're an OG WrestleMania guy. That's right.
Yeah, because I saw Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant.
Andre, who could not move at the time after seeing the documentary. They had to, they had like a forklift bring him in?
Yep.
Yes. I forget what it was.
Yeah, Andre the Giant, and having to help Hulk Hogan slam him was probably the last thing that he did in the WWF at that point. Over the weekend, big times, fun times?
For me, yeah, fantastic. Just awesome.
Wallach had a great day when he left here on Friday, from what I gather.
Nah, it was. I was involved in a car accident on a Friday.
Really?
Yes.
Did you hit your head?
No. I actually walked away from it. And the car is not good, but I'm just fine.
Did it knock the hearing back into your ear?
No, that stayed shut off, unfortunately.
It's not like a Flintstones episode?
No.
Where you get knocked in the head and then that all goes away?
I can hear. What was it, the Naked Gun? I can hear, but I can't see. Yeah. That kind of thing. No, it wasn't like that at all.
Okay, so where did you get hit?
I was doing 45 miles an hour, 93 north, and I was in the right-hand lane, and a truck that was next to me suddenly made a move towards the right-hand lane and cut me off. And I made a run for the exit ramp, which was exit 18, and I didn't quite make it. I hit the barrier, which was the divider between 93 north and exit 18 on 93 north.
Now, did the truck stop?
No. I don't even think the truck knew I crashed at all, to be honest with you.
Really?
Chuck did not stop. No.
So, and you were going 45 miles an hour.
Yes, that's correct.
So did the airbag go off?
Yes, it did.
Really?
Yep.
So it was quite serious.
Yes. No, the car is not drivable.
Wow.
Yeah.
So are you back with the old minivan?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I am. driving the minivan, baby.
So you never got rid of it?
No, still have it.
Oh, my goodness.
No, oh, no, not, no. This is my wife's car. This is not not the blue car you're thinking of. That's gone.
You had double minivan.
Yes, we had two minivans. Okay, as suburban as you can get.
Okay, so you hit the wall, and now what do you do from there?
Driving my wife's car for now.
No, but like, so you hit the wall.
Oh, I hit the wall. Right, come to a complete stop, obviously, and then people keeping their distance, you know, keeping 5 feet away from me, said, you know, are you okay? And this, that, and the other thing. I said, I think I'm fine. And then state police troopers showed up and took down my information and interviewed a couple of people that had stopped that apparently had seen what had happened, and then I was transported to the closest state police barracks. My car was then brought along with me. They dropped the car off because I was on the Mass Pike. AAA is not allowed to go on the Mass Pike.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's part of the deal. So they dropped the car off in all of its glory with me at the barracks, and then I had to call AAA to come get me and the car and take me back home.
So how long were you out there for?
How long was I sitting before the police got there, or how long was I at the barracks? I was at the barracks for, geez, not long, 25, 30 minutes.
How long were you sitting there?
After I crashed, about 5, 10 minutes.
Anyone notice
really?
No.
No?
No. No one said, hey, Wallach.
No, no. Hey, Waldick, where you at?
Yeah, no one said, can I help you in any way?
No, they did. They did. As I said, they had a couple people who had seen it, you know, came up to the driver's side door and window and said, are you all right? You know, but not leaning in, keeping 5, 6 feet away from me. Yes.
Have you inquired about not coming to the station?
I have not yet. I have
okay.
not.
Because it's very odd, because I have been asked if I'm coming into the station, but then every email I get is that they're running out of everything. So I'm wondering why they want me in the station. You know, they're like they're sanitary. Don't touch the sanitary napkins, or I guess that's what you call tampons. But they're like, don't call the, don't touch the, you
know, disinfectant like, wipes.
The disinfectant wipes.
Yes.
They're like, you know, hey, there's only so much hand sanitizer. And I'm saying, why would you possibly want me in there? All I'll do is take up more product.
We miss you, Fred.
Oh, I'm sure, yes.
We do. We miss you. Yeah, I was just talking to Dan O'Brien about it the other day. Yes. We were both
in fact, Fred, I don't mean to belittle John's what happened to him on Friday, but we actually almost left. John, I want to say we left within minutes of each other, and you were ahead of me. And not that I want to blame you for the traffic that was being backed up on 93 North, but I may have thrown a few expletives.
That's my fault.
Thinking, why? Yep. I thought everybody was working from home, and there's Wallach standing on the side of the road.
Yeah, that was my fault.
I drove right by and gave you the finger. I was like, all right, it's Friday.
Thanks, Dan.
No. But I was literally, Fred, we left, Nick, myself, and John left almost identical to the station on Friday. So
So you saw him crash?
I did not, which is, I think he had, when John takes the 93 and then gets on the Pike, right, John?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, so were you already off to that point?
The
exit? Like, I don't think it affected 93 North.
Yeah, it was the exit before the Pike going north on 93 is where I went involved in the car accident.
Okay.
So
I would have just stayed in the left lane and buzzed right by, hopefully.
Yeah.
No, not wanting to, you know, rubberneck, not wanting to be the person that, you know, looks and says, hey, I know that guy.
Hey, are you okay? Or anything
would have gone
like
by
that.
And then, oh, I can't stop.
Sure, no. Hey, that's Wallach's car. Too bad.
Like, I got places to go.
Exactly.
But I'm fascinated that there is any sentiment for me to come into that radio station when all I see is that they're running out of stuff.
Yeah, it's like Survivor Island out here. It really is.
Yeah. So it's just another person.
Yeah.
That would be screwing everything up.
I don't know about screwing everything up, but, you know, there are wipes here in the studio. There are, you know, appropriate, you know, hand sanitizer now at every station here. Every place in the horseshoe here at the desk.
But apparently it's running out. According to the emails that I get.
I get those emails, too. I honestly have two full bottles of hand sanitizer.
Like we're fully loaded here.
Was there a delivery perhaps on Friday?
Maybe. Actually, it was.
Fred, there was a delivery truck pulled up on Friday morning. We thought that was the big delivery, and it was almost like an armored car had pulled up out front. Like, they were just getting out to deliver stuff. And you know what they got? Did you see what they took, John? It was a box of chips and a box of cookies that they took out.
I did.
And they sort of dropped them on the front stoop, jumped back in the truck, and drove away.
Yeah, I'm going out and getting those. I'm going to eat those first thing.
Yeah, that's the thing.
They didn't last long, I bet.
Oh, you could be like Rich and put on rubber gloves and wait 2 days to open up the package.
Right. Can we just talk about that for a second? Of all the things, Rich is, and we all know this, Rich is a germaphobe. He is. He's always been that way. So naturally, this kind of situation puts him on full alert. But even for Rich, can we all agree here that that's a little strange? That you bring in a cardboard box, you put it alone in an empty room, and wait 2 days before you open it? That's a little strange.
Well, it's also impractical. I don't know really what that's going to solve. Like the 2 days of not touching it. Like, I don't know what that's actually going
to
do.
Well, according to Rich, and he read this somewhere, that the coronavirus can live on cardboard for only 2 days. So if he leaves the box alone for 2 days after touching it with his sanitary gloves, apparently the coronavirus will die out and then it will be okay for him to open that box.
Well, my neighbor across the street is a woman. She's an older woman. And I was with my daughter and she's like, you know, kids are hanging out at Newton South, and, you know, I've thought about calling the police on them for hanging out. And then she's like, because you know someone died. And I'm in front of my daughter. She's like, you know someone died, a young person, from this. I'm like, oh, great, thanks. This is going to go over well with the old fam.
You sure you don't live in Brookline? Honest to God.
The neighbor's close to Brookline.
Okay.
I mean, that's a Brookline situation, almost Brookline situation. Yeah, she's also, when every time my kids ride their bikes in the street, she goes, oh, you got to be careful. A kid got ran over by a car and died the last time that they were riding down the street.
She lives across the street, does she?
Right across the
street. That's fantastic. I know that house. That's really cool.
She goes, you know, be careful. She says to my kids, be careful. Someone died.
How old is this woman?
She told me yesterday.
Ballpark it for me.
She told me yesterday how old she was. 72.
Okay. So we're not quite at the age where you look at it and go, oh, it's too bad. Okay, you know, she's old and she doesn't know what she's doing. I reserve those kinds of thoughts for people who are 80 and higher.
Yeah, she's very aware of what's happening.
Oh, boy.
All right, so the Patriots made some moves yesterday. We also have people that are dealing with the coronavirus in terms of things we're going to find out about Brady and what's going on with him. We'll have all that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich. Oh, this guy's a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
Not even last night. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. And if you were wondering why the Patriots were pretty inactive in free agency, well, I got news for you. Things changed yesterday. That's right. Brian Hoyer cut by the Indianapolis Colts. He is got a 1 year deal with the boys with the Flying Elvises.
Hoyer scanning underneath the throw, pick in the red zone to Josh Malga. Malga is on his feet and brought down to the 20-yard line. Hoyer
who doesn't see guys sometimes when he comes back to a third or fourth option with a massive mistake for the Texans there.
All right, so this is the, I guess, Stidham then for real starting?
Yeah, no, this is it. This just goes to show you the Patriots are planning this all along. I mean, they don't have a lot of money underneath the cap. They can't go out and really trade for anyone making big money like Cam Newton or whatever. You have to go with the young kid at this point. And as we said before, Fred, they kind of painted themselves into this corner. And I think fans are ready to just say, okay, Brady's not here. We don't want Andy Dalton. We don't want any of these retreads. Let's go see what the kid can do if faced with this reality.
You sure?
Yes.
Yeah, I think Stidham's going to be the guy going forward here. But, you know, Hoyer could have signed elsewhere. He probably could have got more money elsewhere. But this is probably the only place that he can actually compete for a starting position.
In an offense he already knows. Yep. There's no learning curve. He can step right in and play right away. And that helps Belichick, too, because say the kid doesn't have it in training camp. Say the kid doesn't have it during the exhibition season. At least you know you have a functioning NFL quarterback. Not a good one, but a functional NFL quarterback that can run your offense immediately.
And for $1 million, like, this is like the kind of guy that they want to get off the scrap heap. They'll probably still draft another kid. But there's three guys that at quarterback right now that that can compete for the starting job, and it's probably going to be Hoyer and Stidham and probably a draft pick.
Oh, boy, Patriot fans. Oh, my goodness. This is what you've come to.
Yep.
Is that this is going to be a very interesting year. This is going to be the I moved here in 2006. This is going to be the first year where reality sits in and you get to see what happens with every other franchise.
Yeah, you are. And it just, you bring in the veteran who knows the offense, and maybe to even protect the kid. Maybe the kid doesn't have it, yeah, and you start him anyway. I'll give you an example. Drew Bledsoe taken number one overall in 1993. Fans wanted him to start immediately. And Parcells were like, nope, we're not starting him. And Patriots fans will remember this name, Scott Seacules. Remember him? He was the guy who started the first four games of the season, or the first two or three games of the season. It's kind of like a guy who can throw himself on the hand grenade if things don't go well. He's a veteran quarterback. He can handle it. Whereas the kid, maybe he sits a little bit and is the replacement, and people then are looking forward to him saying, okay, let's bring the kid in. We don't care if he fails.
Yeah, there was one person that was a first overall pick, and then there's another kid that was an afterthought out of Auburn.
No, I guess what I'm saying is ultimately the Patriots want Stidham to be the starter, but there are ways to protect him. It's the same thing with Bledsoe. Throw out the draft position. My point is you have a young kid who the Patriots want to be the starting quarterback. Getting a veteran like this maybe protects him a little bit, too.
And this is just for 1 year, by the way. Like, I don't. If you look ahead, the Patriots will have almost $100 million in cap space the next season. Mm-hmm. And, hey, maybe this is just a stopgap for a year. If you like Vegas odds, the Vegas odds have Deshaun Watson as the Patriots quarterback starting the 2021 season. Will become a free agent. So
where does that leave
you? No, I'm just looking ahead here. This might be a one-year thing where they try Stidham, they try Hoyer in a draft pick. If it doesn't work out, they'll go out and sign a guy.
Why is Deshaun Watson the favorite to go to the Patriots?
I mean, that's what Vegas odds have, but he's a free agent. And
no, I understand that he's a free agent. Why wouldn't he stay
Watson in Houston? Came out recently saying he didn't like the toxic situation happening in Houston at the moment. I think he's upset they traded Hopkins.
Okay. So he would go to the Patriots where he would be miserable?
And he's in the he's in the last year of his rookie deal in Houston right now. And they haven't signed that guy yet? He's a pretty good player. That guy should already have an extension.
I think if Houston comes to the table with $30 or $35 million a season, won't be angry anymore.
It better be before the season starts then.
Maybe.
I just think that this is going to be fun to watch.
Yeah.
That when you have Jeff Stidham as a quarterback or Brian Hoyer as a quarterback. I mean, you're not winning the AFC East.
Really?
The old-ass defense is enough to do that?
Yeah, I think the Buffalo Bills are are going to be projected to be the best team in the East. I still think the Patriots, barring what happens with free agency to me, I'm sorry, I'm not buying Buffalo as of right now. I'm not doing it. And not the Jets either, sorry.
No, the Jets' defensive backs, the cornerbacks, I mean, who are they right now, Fred?
The cornerbacks,
yes.
They're two guys I've never heard of, but yeah. I know they are, but they have two great safeties.
No, they have great safeties, but that guy, Desir, who they just signed, I guess he's the starter, they just picked him off the scrap heap. I mean, that's the problem.
Well, they have depth now on the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
They have Le'Veon Bell.
Mm-hmm.
They'll probably bring back Robbie Anderson. They got the best quarterback in the AFC East.
Mm-hmm. Right now they do.
Yeah, maybe.
They certainly do. The best quarterback in the AFC East. There's really no arguing that.
Stopping the pass is going to be a problem.
Yes, indeed. All right. Well, if you love Jared Stidham, here's how he did against the Jets.
Jared Stidham started at Baylor and then wound up at Auburn. Takes the snap on 3rd and 14. Drops back. Throws to the near side. Two topper ball and picked off. And it's going the other way in the arms of Jamal Adams at the 30. Cuts it right. 25-20. 15-10. It's a pick six for New York.
Exactly what you don't want to do.
Blew my cover.
See what I'm saying? That was for the cover?
It cost Joe money.
Yeah, it did. It really did.
That's right. The cover was 14, wasn't it?
Yeah. When do they ever take out Brady? When?
How much money did you lose?
I don't know, but that was a...
Yes, you do.
Many people were pissed?
You know exactly how much money you lost.
Do you know many people were pissed about that? That's why they were booing.
Yeah.
They weren't booing because Brady was... They're booing because he threw a pick six. Mm-hmm. Run the football. What are you throwing the ball at that kid for?
So you actually remember that was for the cover?
Yeah, of course.
So you're out lost.
That was the big takeaway from the game was they took out Brady, which they never do.
That's true.
They never take out Brady.
That was the Luke Falk game. That was week three. I mean, honest to God, there was nothing remarkable. And you remember this, Fred. No one cared about the game after the first 8 minutes.
Right.
The game was over. Only thing anyone cared about was the line at the end of the day.
Right.
Especially in the second half.
Now, was that in New England?
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was. Now, did you hear the booing afterwards?
Yeah.
Now, were you in the stands?
No, I was at home. I was pissed.
You had a lot riding on that
one?
No,
you know what it is? It's just they should beat the Jets by double digits. And every week it's like, oh, you got to watch out. Oh, the last 11 games against the Jets, have covered. Yeah, because of a Jared Stidham pick six. It should have never happened. And why was he throwing the ball that way anyways?
Jesus.
So this has sat with you for quite some time.
This is September we're going back to now.
Jared Stidham started at Baylor and then wound up at Auburn. Takes the snap on 3rd and 14. Drops back, throws to the near side. Two-topper ball and picked off. And it's going the other way in the arms of Jamal Adams at the 30. Cuts it right. 25-20. 15-10. It's a pick six for New York.
Exactly what you don't want to do.
This is five and a half months ago.
3rd and 14?
Yeah,
run the ball!
You throw the ball on 3rd and 14. It wasn't the fourth quarter. You throw the ball on... actually, maybe it was the fourth quarter. You throw the ball on 3rd and 14.
So you throw a screen or run it and punt it.
I see.
And then so why were you not at the game, Joe? Did you think there would be too much pressure on you with the money riding on
it?
No,
I sell my tickets sometimes.
Okay.
And by the way, they have extended... the season ticket proposal. So you have to sign up for season tickets by the 31st of March. They extended it to June.
Smart.
Oh, well, that's fun.
I wonder how long that waiting list is now.
So they're projecting that there's going to be no football in September, is what you're saying to me.
Well, I don't know if they'll make that payment. I get a couple of months to save on that payment. So,
well, I'll tell you this, is that that's exciting news.
It is.
Well, for you.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you, I mean, I've had tickets since 1992. So would you sign up? Would you re-sign this year?
Yes.
What's your situation like at the games? Do you have like a crew you go with?
Yeah, we tailgate beforehand. Yeah.
Yeah, I would get tickets.
Absolutely, you keep tickets. Mm. Now's not the time to jump off the bandwagon. Otherwise, you'll be like most other Patriots fans who are, what? They're not going to win 12 games? Out! Out! I'm not going.
I mean, if it's something you enjoy doing, no, I would hate it. I would hate having to go there every Sunday or every other Sunday.
Yeah, I do two games a year, and then
that's the way to do it. You pay, you cash in for at least face value, if not a little more, and then you go to a couple of games that you select. That's not a bad plan.
Well, you're going to have the same situation I had with the Bruins tickets when I first moved here. I had Bruins tickets right next to the bench. And I couldn't give them away. Quite literally, couldn't give them away sometimes.
Great, so, Dave Brown. Was it Dave Lewis. Thank you. Thank you very much.
It was Dave Lewis. And with the Hitler-esque mustache.
Yes.
And yes.
Is that the Dave Marty Lewis. LaPointe is?
What's that?
Was the Marty LaPointe day?
They had Marty LaPointe. They had Glenn Murray. Yeah, yeah. They had a young Patrice Bergeron.
Yeah.
Did they have it?
Was the Razor?
I think they had just gotten Savard and Chara. Or that might have been the next year.
Okay.
And but Glenn Murray was out there. Oh, was he electric?
Great last
Scored
40. You know, he scored 40 1 year.
Yeah, 1 year.
Yeah.
Not
great.
Not the year that I had the tickets.
Yeah.
That was his last year.
Ah, okay.
Not fast. No, you could. Even a layman could look at the ice and go, "Ooh, that's a guy who needs to retire." All right. When we come back, news on Antonio Brown, Seth Wickersham. On a delightful article on why Don Brady hates the Patriots, and so much more. We'll be back. Here are the headlines.
Dutcher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Apparently, Joe and Wallach, very productive yesterday when asked by Dan if they had anything.
Yes.
Both declaring no.
Well, Joe wrote back a few things last night in email. John contributed absolutely nothing.
John wants the second chair so badly. He just doesn't realize that you have to actually...
John's like, I got nothing.
I tried to help with what happened last night.
Hold on a second. Did I not help you last night?
There was a few things in there we were crossing wires on, but yes, I was asking for audio and you were sending me guest ideas, so...
Yes. It wasn't completely idle, Fred. I didn't ignore him.
A guest idea.
What was the guest idea?
We were talking about getting middle part for that NBA story where they're not going to pay the players on April 15th.
Who's middle part?
Michael McCann.
Why would
the
we
legal? Is the NBA allowed not to pay the players on April 15th? That was my point. Well, I didn't say the idea was fantastic, Fred. You asked me what the suggestion was.
It was spitballing, right, John?
That's all it was. Yes. And obviously it was shot down immediately.
Oh, to be John. And to have a full-time job where you had to prepare nothing. There's no pressure on you.
Me and Greeny.
He so badly wanted to be in that second chair. And then there's still no preparation. No ideas. No creativity. Oh, John.
It was a long weekend, Fred.
It was a long weekend. There was so much to do. You know, you know what I did yesterday?
What's that?
Is I did a streaming breakdown of a Saved by the Bell episode.
Joe Murray brought this up and said that it was fascinating to watch.
I watched it, Fred.
Oh, you did?
I loved it, yeah. First, you were trying to look for a hat. You were very upset about the way your hair looked.
I have not showered in 2 days.
That's fine.
God bless.
You were looking for a hat, then you got Milo's hat. It didn't fit. And then you were given another hat. And the funniest part about it was you watch it with your daughter. And then, like, the episode starts and the nerds were there. And you were like, oh, the nerds are there. Something big must be happening. And I just started dying laughing because it's true.
Yeah. They trotted. We had nothing to do today. I'll retread the old bit. If you missed it, I'll talk about it again. All right. Well, listen. Tom Brady has a love affair with a young man by the name of Antonio Brown.
Mm, yeah.
And the Bone is the station that used to feature Bubba the Love Sponge.
I heard it's bad out there. Bad to the bone?
Yeah, it's the bone.
Yeah.
Which has many connotations. Like, it's like penis and... Right, bad to the bone.
Oh, God.
And all these things. But it used to have a man by the name of Bubba the Love Sponge who used to have women call in and rubbed their phones in their pubic hair, and that was considered a titillating bit.
Hmm.
But here is Antonio Brown talking in Tampa about Bruce Arians and Tom Brady.
Antonio, having been on a team already with Bruce Arians, do you feel that he has what it takes to take Tampa Bay to the Super Bowl with Tom Brady?
Absolutely, man. Bruce Arians is not only a great head coach, but he's a great offensive genius. I think when I played with him in Pittsburgh, man, I was averaging like 16 yards a catch.
Does he like you?
I think he liked me. I think we had a lot of fun together, man.
I would have bet my salary you were not going to call in today. I'm so excited that you did. Thank you so much.
No, I'm grateful, man. I had to come. Thank you guys for showing love, man. I'm always tapping with you guys. I'm really grateful for the opportunity to get on with you guys. I'm looking forward to seeing you soon, hope.
All right. Well, yeah. There you go. That's Antonio Brown.
I'm going to kiss as much ass as I can in the hopes that Arian gives me a call.
Yeah. I'm going to go on Tampa Bay radio. I'm fascinated why Tom Brady is so involved in him, that Tom Brady just so badly wants to play with him.
Well, I mean, if you read the I know we're going to talk about Seth Wickersham shortly, but according to Wickersham, he saw a resurrection project, Brady did, when dealing with Antonio Brown. Someone he could save.
Yeah, it's pretty. I know. I read the Wickersham article as well, and that seems a little
far-fetched.
Yeah, like Brady was rejuvenated when Antonio Brown came to New England. And,
yes, finally, a wide receiver that can do something with the football that isn't Julian Edelman. Yes, I would have been reinvigorated too.
Well, if you look at the last drive of his last game, Julian Edelman did him no favors.
Yes.
All right, Adam Silver, the NBA. Now, here's the deal, is that coronavirus tests are running very low. And do you know what the feeling is now? Is that in Los Angeles and New York, they will not test you unless they feel that there is a circumstance where it might gravely affect you. So they're giving less tests. And I also read an op-ed in the New York Times from a guy who is a medical teacher at Yale, who says that they should protect people with immunity disorders and older people. And the best thing to do is if you're no, I'm not saying this is fact, so don't. I'm just saying this was the man's opinion, is that if you're a healthy adult, just to go out and live your life, and if you get it, then you can't get it again. And then people go, you can get it again. Well, no, I've never heard that you could get it again. And that you then build an immunity to disease and you cannot transfer it. So this man's idea was to quarantine the old and the immune, the people that had their immunity compromised, and for everyone else to go about their business. He said no large gatherings, like concerts and things of that nature. But he suggested that people go back to work. And that's what he suggested. And you're laughing like I didn't read this.
I'm laughing because the idea is absurd. It's not the idea. That's not because you brought it up. That's why I'm laughing.
How is that idea absurd?
You want people to go live their lives and risk, spreading this virus all over the place. There are older, and all the while you want to sequester all the old people in what? Like separate rooms across the country? How are we going to sequester everybody?
Well, the idea would be that that if you had a relative that was older that you lived with or that was had their immunity compromised, that you would not do that. The idea would be like if you live, like in your house, John, if you live with two younger people and your wife, that you could go out and go about your business if you were not in contact with an older person. And then in 2 weeks, you would be fine because you could not transmit the disease or the sickness. Do you understand?
I understand. I understand what you're saying.
So if you were gone for 2 weeks and didn't see your mother for 2 weeks, then you would come back and then it would be completely safe to be around your mother.
I see. So let's just throw out the testing part of it, where you really can't get tested in this country yet until you're really showing terrible signs of this illness.
In Los Angeles and New York, yes.
Yes. I mean, and the other part of it is, Fred, I mean, you don't know when you are sick. That's
right.
The problem. with all of this? I guess this works in a world where you can get immediate testing within like 5 or 6 hours.
No. That's the opposite. This works in a world where you don't know if you have it. Is that the elderly and the immune compromised sequester themselves, and then the other people live their lives, and then when you finally can get tested, then you have contact with them again.
So you think this is a good idea?
I'm on the fence if that's a good idea, because his argument was that the economic repercussions, the social repercussions are outweigh the relatively healthy people aren't getting very sick, that that we are taking unnecessary steps. It was his feeling. I've read that a couple of places.
I look at it's. I've read plenty of cases where, you know, people who are 40 and people who are 30 get laid out by this thing and they're in bed for 6 weeks. I mean, I don't think everyone under the age of 70 only gets a minor version of this.
It's like 90% are symptomatic, have no symptoms.
Well, I mean, what about the other 10%? What about the people that really do get sick? What about the people that are, you know,
that are
not
60?
70 that have died? I'm not saying 20-somethings get it and die. I don't think that's happened yet in this country. But my point is that there are enough people who are really having trouble with this that idea probably will not work.
Okay.
And in the meantime,
it's a very small percentage.
I understand that, but there are still people that are suffering that aren't necessarily 75 and 80 years old.
Yeah, there are people. Yes,
I don't think you can skip over those people. I think that you kind of this idea. I'm not saying you're doing it, but this idea kind of dismisses that.
Yeah, it's a pandemic, and I guess you play by the percentages.
And the only safe way, the only completely foolproof way is to have everyone stay home and stay away from everybody else. Now, you have Cuomo saying, you know, New York City, people still aren't doing it. And there are a lot of people across this country that still don't believe in it and aren't doing it. And that will not only fail to flatten the curve, it'll make this situation worse.
See, I don't know what Cuomo wants, because every picture I see of New York City, the streets are completely empty.
Have you been following Francesa on Twitter?
No.
Oh my God, you got to go back and read it. He's calling for a nationwide 14 to 21 day quarantine right now, starting today.
Just you can't leave your house.
Correct. The nation should be on lockdown for the next 3 weeks.
Well, it's the United States of America. I don't think that's necessarily going to happen.
But the funny part about it is Francesa's tweeting this like once every 2 hours. It's
really?
Not just one thing that he said and left there. It's we have to do this as a country now. We're failing as a nation. You really need to go back and look at it.
Yeah, well, I would say that I don't want martial law in the United States.
I just think it's funny that Mike Francesa is leading the charge, though. That's the great thing about this.
Yeah, because he can live in his house with the seven TVs.
I was just going to say, this guy's got enough money where he can live on a mansion and a hill behind a gate. You know, it's pretty easy for him.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, people do need to leave the home.
People, like, if Francesa doesn't want to go to work, what's anyone going to say?
Well,
no,
I'm
sorry.
Not going to work.
So, no, but the point is, if I don't want to be on the air, I don't want to go to work. No one's going to say, "Hey, Mike, you need to do this."
No, and no one's going to. And he's got what's his name? His driver that can go out and get
Julio.
His food for him.
He's got Julio. Yeah, yeah.
Can go get his food for him.
Yeah,
I like that idea. You can't leave. Oh, okay.
That's fine.
For 3 weeks, sure.
I mean, he's just
whatever you say.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing what Francesa is advocating from his high horse. It's really incredible, actually.
I'm just fascinated that you follow Francesa.
It's worth its weight sometimes. It really is. It's funny. I don't follow him to get breaking news information.
No, I understand.
I just think situations like this are very, very good. Very
I just
funny.
Like that he's that's his opinion. It's
yes.
like the government should make people sit home.
I have a platform, damn it. I'm going to use it.
Nah, you know what? No, you can't. You can't. I choose to stay home, but I am not going to. I don't want the army in the streets forcing me to.
He wants to roll the tanks down. Broadway, saying everyone has to stay home. Martial law.
I see pictures in your scene. There's no one out.
Yeah, I've seen that too.
Have you seen the freeways in L.A.?
Yes.
There's, like, no one out.
I know. Now, give the United States of America credit. I mean, people are, by and large, now, I can't speak for the entire population, but by and large, people are taking this seriously and trying to stay home and trying to stay away from one another. I don't know how good it's going to be or how good it's ultimately. We'll find out in a couple of weeks how everything worked out. But you see the numbers in Italy and now Spain, they're just awful. And people are saying this could last 6 months. This could last a year here in the United States.
Well, I know two people that operate small restaurant businesses that are going out of business.
And do you follow Billy Jaffe on Twitter? I assume.
Oh yeah, he had a little breakdown.
Oh boy, he really was it yesterday morning? Yesterday morning, where he just went off. On people because one of his good friends got it. And now Billy, and he comes in here once a week. You never see Billy angry. I've never seen him angry. And he was angry yesterday.
Yes. He was saying, don't play hockey, don't play basketball. I don't know. I haven't seen anyone playing basketball or hockey. But I mean, he was saying it's enough.
Everyone needs to stay home. Everyone needs to stay away from one another. But just the fact that Billy Jaffe got angry about this is what makes news for me.
Yeah. I thought it was odd, too. That it just, I mean, I guess because his friend had it and is sick.
Yeah.
I guess that got him all fired up. Yeah. And it's financially, it sucks for him. So, I mean.
Sure, that's part of it.
Yeah, I know two people who's got to shut down their businesses, and so they're out. They can't afford it. I know one person whose business is down 70%, so they got to get rid of it. So, and I guess the idea is that the quicker this gets over, the more that the businesses can thrive. But who knows when this is going to be over? I mean, it's a lot to ask a business to spend 2 months not making any money.
Some businesses obviously have closed down their retail stores and are still paying their employees.
Yeah, but those are corporations.
No, I understand, but it's still obviously not cost effective, but that's how you lose a lot of money.
Right.
And with the stock market, I guess, has lost all of the money, all of the gains they have made since Trump took over.
It's under 20,000 now.
I mean, all the gains they made in the last 3 years are gone in the last 2 weeks.
Yes. Now that will recover, and unless you're relying on your income from the stock market, I mean that will recover. I mean that will recover fairly quickly. But if you own a small business, you are effed. Because again, just over the weekend, talking to two people, and they're just like, I can't stay open. I'm down 70% of my business.
Yep.
And I can't pay utilities, and I can't pay rent, and so. And these are people that let employees go and are just basically working by themselves with family.
And even when they get back up to speed, it's not like they can necessarily hire those employees back right away.
No, when they get back up to speed, they're not going to have. I mean, you got to pay rent every month.
Yeah.
I mean, they're screwed. So what are you going to do? All right. When we come back, we can talk about the big article. On Seth Wickersham on the Tom Brady saga, and we will have that for you in just a moment.
98.5, the Sports Hub, Toucher and Rip.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.